when he ran to me, he took me in his arms, held my head to his chest, said, my son's come home.
For this command is a lamp, this teaching is a light, and correction and instruction are the way to life. Proverbs 6:23. Join Bishop Patrick Bruce of the Lighthouse Chapel International, Bantama, as he brings you the pure, unadulterated Word of God. This teaching is anointed, practical, down to earth, and full of wisdom, and will refresh, energize, and bring healing to your body and soul. Listen to the Word of God.
It takes only a little withdrawing to sit down and look that we become very quickly grateful to God for all the things He has done for us. Sometimes, as we are in a hurry to do things to get somewhere, we see what is lacking and we see what is short and we see what we don't have. But if you are able to tell somebody, take your time. Say it with some passion. Take your time. If you can take your time, you'll very quickly see that God has really, really, really been good to us. And of a truth, God has been good to us. And thank you so much for those who wish me birthday. I have a lot of texts. I'm still replying. I've not finished. If you send me a message, I haven't replied yet. It's coming. It will come by this evening or tomorrow morning. You will get a reply. Hallelujah. Amen. But last week we had a fantastic time here also. It was Leaders and Loyalty Conference. It is actually aimed at church leaders, pastors, leaders of this church and other churches to help them to become better able to build their churches. But it was amazing that God spoke to us quite a bit during that conference. And one of the key things that I believe came through was something we call the culture of allegiance. It is the culture of a place. When we say culture, it is the way people do things. Now, so, I mean, here in Ashanti, tell somebody, when you are alive and you need money, we won't mind you. If you like, die and see. We will find money and come and paint your house. We will fix the toilets. We will repair the television. We will do all the things. While you are alive, they won't mind you. Tell somebody, look, if you need money, die. Tell anybody, if you need money, just die. Just die. You need money. You want to paint your house. How many want to paint their houses? Or you want to repair your toilets? Or you want to fix the road to your house? Just die. It will be done very, very fast. It's a culture we have in a place. Hallelujah. And every place has a culture. And I want us to spend some time this morning to revise, for those who know but have forgotten, or learn, those who are new, the culture of this place and how to get it back. Because that culture is your defense. That culture prevents things from spoiling. You know, that is why it is very good to marry before you're born. Amen? So when you do that, you are starting a culture in your family of weddings. I once met a lady. She said she has, I think, 5 sisters or something. And she has many aunties. Not one of them is married. Not one. I mean, in their house, they have born. Not one wedding in their house. And she too, she was going to follow the tradition of just born and not married. And I said, no, break it. And start a new tradition of here, we marry. And she has married, and I'm hoping that her children will also marry very well. You see, a tradition, a culture begins to implement something in your house that you can't do it. And it does it automatically. When a culture is working, everybody follows it. Everybody follows it. That is why, look, if I go to town and shake hands with your left hand and see if they'll be happy with you, they won't mind you at all. Maybe you have just washed your hands. Or if you like, put your right hand in the sand, make it dirty, and then ask him, which one do you like, the right or the left hand? They'll still choose the right hand. The culture is so deep in us that that is how we do our things. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so this morning, I want us to spend a little time to understand what is culture and how it works for us and what it means in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let us pray. Father, thank you so very, very much for every opportunity, every time we come into your presence like this. Let it be, Lord, said of us that we are your people. And let it be recognized very quickly that we belong to you. Thank you so very, very much for every occasion, every opportunity when we come into your house. Thank you that as we gather like this, you speak to us, open our ears, soften our hearts, and cause us to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Ushers, you know, all these children crying, it's not our culture. I don't know where you are bringing a new culture into this house. And so let us begin to now strongly hold on to our culture. Is it a good idea? Hey, is it a good idea? It is. Luke chapter 4 and verse 16. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. Number one, Jesus had a custom. A custom is what he did frequently and often. Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. And he arose from thence and cometh into the coast of Judea by the further side of Jordan. And the people resorted to him unto him again. And as he was wont, he taught them again. As he was used to doing. Jesus says every time there's a gathering of people and they come together in front of him, he will teach them. He doesn't have to think hard or anything. This is what he frequently does. When they gather, he teaches them. And that is Jesus. He had some things he did frequently and easily. And finally, John chapter 18. And when Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Cedron, where was a garden, into the which he entered, and his disciples. Yes. And listen to this. And Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place. Amen. Judas knew the place. Why? For Jesus oft times resorted hither with his disciples. So Judas, being one of the disciples, was aware that Jesus often went there and that Jesus was known to be coming to that place to spend time with his disciples. And so this morning, we are looking at the culture of a place and how everyone actually has a culture. But sometimes we let it slide. And sometimes the culture, children are, especially children who are born abroad, they are brought up minus culture. Or I've not noticed. When you see children, small children here, 2, 3, 4 years old, when they come to greet, they can use any hand to greet because for a child, it doesn't matter very much. But as they grow older, 7, 8, they become more aware of use your right hand to greet. Is that not the case? But children from abroad, they have grown, they don't know right hand, left hand. Even grown-ups, white men, they will take something with their left hand and give it to you. Why? It's not their culture. They don't think at all left hand, right hand. They just do whatever is handy and equal for them. Amen? But I want us to learn how to, you see, our aim is to rebuild and to restart our culture. Hallelujah. What is our culture? Our culture is simply basically this, of loyalty. Amen. I didn't hear a good amen.
Amen.
Of fidelity, of faithfulness, and of loyalty. That's the culture we have in this place as a church. You know, a culture of loyalty means you are loyal. It means you are faithful. It means you keep to your word. That's a faithful person. That's a faithful person. You do what? You keep to your word. Tell somebody, if you promise, do it. That's all. That's all. If you promise, what do you do? Do what you promised. Tell somebody, don't promise and fail. I mean, I've heard it before, promise and fail. I mean, I've done some before. You've done some before. I mean, did it recently. Can I say you are recently? I mean, all of us are guilty as charged. This court case there, nobody will come out free. Guilty as charged. Yeah. It has almost become normal that people promise and fail. It is such that if you complain, they wonder, why are you complaining? I mean, there's a reason. They'll find a reason. It has become so common for people to say, I mean, two things I find very, very disturbing. One is, I will be there. And then, they don't come. Am I the only one who has choristers? Choristers and ushers. Let's come and do some work. I will be there. Saturday evening, I will be there. When you come, out of 18, only 3 are there. Huh? I will be there. Amen. The culture we have in this house has been such that when you say something, you do what? I cannot hear you. Those who are quiet, I think they're the ones who don't plan to do what they are saying. You do it. Amen. When you can't do it, what do you say? You say it, that I can't do it. Tell somebody, especially the choristers, it is far better to say I won't come or I can't come than I'll be there and you don't come. Tell somebody, it is far better. It is far better to say I can't come. Even say I won't come. It's a different trouble. Say I can't come than to say I will come and then you don't come. Hallelujah. I didn't hear a good amen.
Amen.
So from today, are you listening? From today, I'll be watching to see what you say about choir rehearsal. I want to hear that as I'm coming to rehearsal, I know we are three. I know as I'm coming for the rehearsal, I know we are three because Aman can't come, Ajua can't come, Iriku has gone to town, and then this person has gone to America. We are left with 3 out of 18. I like that one. So we can plan for the 3 what to do than to come expecting 15. And then nobody turns up. Hallelujah. That's the culture we have in the house. The other culture we have is how we talk. How we talk. Tell somebody, do not, capital N, capital O, and capital T, do not talk about somebody behind his back. Tell somebody. Tap your neighbor. Do not. Hey, I cannot hear you. Tell them, do not. No. I cannot hear you. Do not. Spell not for him. No. Not N-O. Capital N. O. Capital T. Do not. Hey, you are quiet. You want to talk about somebody behind their back. So you will say that you are free from any promises to me. Tell him once again, do not. Oh, don't talk to the air. Turn to your face to your neighbor and say, do not. Capital N, capital T, do not talk behind their back. There is, you see, the truth is, there's nothing secret in reality. All the dresses we are wearing, all of us, under the dress, we know what is there. True or not true? We can describe what is there under the dress. You even wear a coat on top of this. It doesn't matter. What is there is there. So there's really nothing that is to be hidden. It is when you try to hide that you make it suspicious. And then an evil motive begins to creep up in your heart. Hallelujah. But if you have a question, tell somebody, if you have a question, what do you do? What do you do? Ask. Yeah, ask. That's all. Hallelujah. Amen. Another culture we have, I cannot finish all, but another culture we have is that we love one another. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. We love one another. Look at your neighbor and say, look, you are not correct, but I love you. No, look at your neighbor, it's true, you're not correct. Correctness are here. How can you be correct? Look at your neighbor and say, you. Hey, say it well, you. You are not correct. At all. And then you too, add, you too, by the way, you too. Yeah, you are not correct, but I love you all the same. Young man, you will say it. Or she's correct. No, the young man is not saying it. Is she correct? She's correct. That's why you can't say it. I don't think she's correct here. We are not correct. Tell anybody, you are not correct. You are actually very some way. You are actually, oh, please help me this one. You're actually very some way. Actually, that's the reality. That's the truth. That's the truth. Listen. If just now I was to get a video of your thoughts, and put it on the screen here, would you stay in this church? How many will leave the church? As before the end of the video, you are gone. Before I start, you are gone. Because as you are sitting here, look at nice ladies. I mean, nice ladies. God bless the nice ladies in our church. But thank God that their minds are hidden from us. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God for innocent faces. Oh, yes. Thank God that some faces are so... Especially when they have long hair and slim and nice smile and small lipstick. Those faces. You can't believe what is behind them. Hallelujah. But it is our culture that we are a family. Amen. That's our culture. That is why day or night, if you call, somebody will come and help you. Day or night. Pastors, our phones, my phone is never off. No. There's nothing like my phone is off. I have gone home sometimes at midnight. When I sleep, no, then I get a call, wake up. Somebody is calling from somewhere. Somebody has a problem. I have spent in the night before looking for somebody's wife. Driving in town looking for his wife. He can't find his wife. Why? She's angry. She walked out of the house and she's gone. And he can't find her. Then he's calling me to come and find her for him. And what should I do? I'll go and find his wife for him. I will go. And we drove up and down that town looking. It was raining. There was a storm. We're looking for their wife. Yeah. Tell somebody, if you need help. You didn't say it with real meaning. If you need help, call me. If you don't mean, don't say it all. As you are saying it, remember the first one, that don't say it and don't do it. Amen. Don't say it and then you don't do it. Hallelujah. But we are building a beautiful culture of a church where you are happy to come, you are happy to be here all day, happy to make a friend, you are happy to sit by somebody. Every stranger who comes is a new friend. Maybe your future husband. Who knows? Everyone who comes here is a new friend. Maybe your future employer. Who knows? Who knows who has just walked into the church? But as they come like that, they are welcome into our midst. And then we open our hands and then we welcome them. Tell somebody, that is why in this church we hug so much. I didn't hear amen for that one. That is why what? In this church, we hug so much. So put your hand around somebody and shake the person small. Shake the person. Oh, put your hand around. I mean, tell them that, listen, we, brother, you're afraid of the girl. You be there. Tell somebody, that is why in this house, we hug so much. We really, really care for people. Hallelujah. We really, really care for you. And it's not such that, catch your phone away. We really, really care for you. And we really wish you the very, very best. Hallelujah. And that is why our loyalty, it is forever. How can you know, die and see? When you die, you see that we will all come to your funeral. Amen. You don't believe me? I said, when you die, all of us, me and the pastors, will come to your funeral. We'll be there, pa, to celebrate you. You were a good boy. You were a good girl. Don't worry, Kra. To be a nice funeral, we'll sing. Give us your favorite songs before you die. Your favorite songs, your favorite scripture, hymns. Doesn't matter what it is. We'll come. It will be a nice send-off. And as you are going to heaven, they'll be asking, who is this who is coming? That they are missing him, but they are already celebrating him. We'll say, yeah, he's our brother, and we like him, but he has gone ahead of us, but we are coming soon. Soon is relative, yeah, but we'll be there. Amen. But this culture has a way of disappearing. It has a way of being changed by circumstances. It has a way of being, of a new culture being imposed onto it. As we are here right now, the Western culture is forcing its way into our country. That's why you see all the young boys, they are walking around town, all their boxer shorts is showing. I mean, I saw a young man walking in town, and his trouser was down here. I mean, down on his, below his, and all up here was boxer shorts. I said, listen, remove the trouser and wear the boxer shorts. And walk in town with a boxer shorts, that's what you want to do. That is a Western, it's not our culture. But it's so common. All the young men are doing it. True or not true? Another culture is showing your breast and showing your body. Our culture, when they wear a dress from here to here, we are covered with layers of things. But the Western culture is show everything you can show before they see you have shown your thing. Just find the borderline where you can show everything, but I don't show anything. That's their Western culture, trying to see what they can do. But you see, it is coming on us gradually. Hallelujah. Many of the things we have, betting and all those things, it's not our culture. It came from somewhere. Pornography. How much is made in Ghana? It's not made in Ghana. Made in China, made in America, made in Europe, made in other places. I'm sure some is made in Ghana now, because somebody is making a business out of it. But all these things are coming from somewhere, and they are being imposed on our culture to the extent where right now, young people having pornography is normal. It's not normal, but it's common. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Or it's not common, young people. Is it common? Yeah. To meet a person who is a virgin. Hey, now you have to pray about it, pa. I used to ask, now I've stopped asking. My friends are finishing. When I ask, then they start to say, oh, pastor. Oh, pastor. That's the answer. So now when I ask, then they don't come to see me again the next time. I don't ask. Hallelujah. Amen. So a foreign culture is imposing itself on us. And that is why, starting from today, are you here this morning? Starting from today, we want to reimpose, to revisit our culture. What is ours to bring it back? Amen. Make it the most important thing again. And when it comes back, we will not have to fight very hard to build a good church, but we will have a good church because we have a good culture that is at work in this place. Hallelujah. How many want that good culture? How many want a church where your children are safe? Where our children, when they come to walk around here, there's no danger of somebody having bad... You see, for a child to spoil is a bad friend. Yeah, for a child to spoil is a bad friend. And oftentimes, these bad friends, they are at school. It's where they learn these things. And when they come to church, they must unlearn what they learned in school and then now pick up what we have to teach them. Yeah. But that teaching, we'll have only a few minutes. I mean, in a few minutes, I'll be finishing my message. So the preaching from the pulpit is 1 hour, 45 minutes, then it's over. But if you can build a culture that says, don't talk to it about anybody behind their back. If you can build that culture, even after the service is over, and we are walking around on the compound, that culture is still speaking and still saying, don't gossip, don't backbite, don't promise and fail. No matter where, what is happening at the pulpit or otherwise, that culture of trying to make you do the right thing is always at work. And then you have a message preached all day long and not just 1 hour from the pulpit. Is it a good idea? Is it a good idea? Put your hands together for a culture. So this morning, five things. I want us all of us here this morning, to pick up these five things and to do them. Let it not be that, oh, it's only me or a few of us who are actively trying to rebuild this culture. Let every single one of us learn these five keys and do it. Amen. Are you with me? Look, if you don't have this book, write these five keys down. I want it to be so common in this house that there's no doubt we are trying to do something. There is no doubt what we stand for. There is no question at all. What are they thinking? What is this place like? Well, this is how we are. We have a culture here of faithfulness, fidelity, and loyalty. A culture where you can trust me. A culture where we are helping each other as best as we can. Where when you say something, you mean it. I will come means I will be there on time I say I will be there. I will pay my tithe means I will pay my tithe. Not that I do it once in a while. Or I will pay it maybe by October or November, I'll pay my tithe. Or I pay tithes. Last time was June last year. But I pay tithes. Yeah, I pay. I don't not pay, I pay. But I paid it last year in June. And I pay 1B, I think it's February or something. But that is what I'm doing. No. Now when we say something, we do it. Hallelujah. I didn't hear a good amen. I'm giving you five keys. Key number one, the key of the north wind. Proverbs 25 and verse 23. I'm giving you five keys this morning. You can't write. You didn't bring anything to write with. You cannot go to class without a notebook or anything to write. Otherwise, the teaching is wasted on you. Next time you're coming to church, bring something. Amen. You didn't come to church to come in for entertainment. We are coming to learn something. Small or big, learn something that will carry with us and take it home. Proverbs 25:23, the north wind drives away rain. And an angry countenance, an angry face will drive away a backbiting tongue. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the first key this morning is your face. And your face is an expression of your heart. Key number one, do not let anybody say anything negative in your presence. Are you here? Do not let anybody say anything negative in your presence. Don't talk about Catholic priests. Don't talk about the pastor in another church. Don't talk about that girl over there. She's not correct. She has 3 boyfriends. Don't, if it's true, go and tell her, hey, sister, come. They say you have 3 boyfriends. 2 or not. That's the best thing to do. Don't let anybody talk to you about something negative. If they do, at once reject it. How? By your face. When somebody comes and says, Charlie, I get some filler. What should be your response? Bring it. Charlie, what is it? Tell me. What should be your response? Is I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. You know, when you begin to reject such things, people won't like you. Do you know that? They won't like you. They'll say, they'll start making comments about you. But listen, it is those who are bad who will not like you. And you are even being saved or delivered from their friendship. Because their friendship will bring you down to a bad place. Don't let anybody come and poison your heart. If just now, I come and I tell you, this girl, I saw her at a certain spot, in a certain position, with 7 men around her. Okay, 6. How you are saying, hey, 7 is too much, 6 men. And tell her what it was, the positioning and, look, with my own eye, I saw it fully. How, what you are doing there, don't ask me. But I saw it. When you see her later, what is the first thing that will come to your mind? What's the first thing? Something. That's the first thing. And at once, hey, is that how you are? You are smiling like this. I said, well, 6 men. Or is it 7 men? 6 men. Hey, at once you are poisoned. Whether you believe it or not, that image will come into your head. This girl, I saw her, you know, there were 3 white men, 2 Chinese men, and 1 Korean. And they were doing the 6 things. When you see her again, what comes to your mind? 6 white men. And then, whether it is true or not, you don't know. Because you can't ask her, were there 6 or 5 men? You can't ask her, but the picture will come into your head. And suddenly, you are poisoned. If later on they tell you it wasn't true, still, the picture will come into your head. Hallelujah. From today, tell somebody, don't tell me any bad news. Shake anybody and tell them, don't tell me, I don't want to hear, shake anybody and tell them, I don't want to hear any bad news. No filler, no breaking news, no suspicions, nothing. I don't want to hear it. Amen. Oh, I didn't hear. Say, I don't want to hear it. Nobody should come in. You see, there's a way of talking that makes you question things. When they ask you, they come and ask you, you know, Reverend Leslie's car, how did he buy it? How did he buy it? That's all. As you are here, have you thought about it? Now you're thinking about it. We are here. Don't mention Reverend Shimon's car. That one is. No, that one, I'm not there yet. I mean, doctor in Ghana. How? It's okay. Nice, Reverend Dell. He's working. But look at these 2 pastors. And he's always in front. It's okay. Forget it. What have you done? What have you done? You have sown a seed in somebody's mind. Don't talk about anybody in this church. I didn't hear an amen. Amen. I didn't hear an amen. Amen. When somebody comes to talk to you, maybe, you see, they will not ask your permission. So when they come and say, do you know Reverend Leslie, his car? Say, hey, stop there. Tell him, I can see where you are going. What do you say? Hey, What do you say? The rest of you want to hear the gossip, eh? Those who are quiet, finish the gossip quickly before somebody comes. Listen, when somebody comes to lift your hand and say what? Stop there. Don't say another word. And even crowd, turn your back and walk away. Why? Because I'm driving away your backbiting tongue before you poison my heart about people who are there to help me. When you are thinking about this girl has three white men, two Chinese, and one Korean from MTN. And then you need help with your phone. How can you call her? As you are calling here, listen, Gloria, my phone is not working. Which man is answering? Is the Chinese man or the Korean? Which man is answering the phone? It's a poisoning of our hearts. Hallelujah. Are you listening? It's a poisoning of your hearts. Don't accept anybody to come and talk to you, especially about the leaders, because they are the one who will help you the most. Once you are cut off from a leader, you are in a car with no steering wheel. You are going at random. An obstacle comes, you can't avoid it. The leaders are the ones God has given you to lead you out of trouble into a better place. And now you have cut them off. Or you have cut them off from somebody by your comments. You have made that person unable to pray. I mean, somebody has come. Charlie, that pastor, he has three wives. Oh, one is in Sunyani, one is in Birkum, and one is Kofuidia. And then now you say, please, time to pray. Let me pray for your marriage. Who? You. How can you pray for my marriage when you have three wives? What kind of prayer are you coming to pray for me? And so suddenly, you can't receive a prayer from a man God has set over you to be a shepherd to you. Are you here this morning? Tell somebody, no backbiting tongue again. I don't accept anybody coming to gossip, tell any story. It is not allowed from today in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Put your hands together. What happens, the second key is what happens when you effect key number one. The key of constant pruning. Hallelujah. You see, when you begin to reject people who are some way, what happens is they begin to draw back from you. Are you with me? Yeah. When somebody is coming to gossip, you say, oh, Konkonsan girl, go away. She's offended. She won't come to you again. Yeah. It is actually key number two, the key of pruning. Cutting away people who are not helpful. Not necessary. The key of rejecting some people, I don't want you again as a friend. I mean, you are a friend coming to tell me bad news about a friend. Look, you are telling me that she has three boyfriends. Look, when I was like her, do you know how many girlfriends I had? Aha. So now, as you are telling me about her faults, I'm remembering my faults. I say, hey, that's a boy, we are all the same. You don't know who you are talking to. And so that person, you don't need that person in your life. Hallelujah. We have made it a practice that some people, we need them. No. You need very few people. You need many friends and a few people. There are some people, they should actually leave you. Do you know what I was thinking the other day during the week? Samson, if he had sacked Delilah, what would have happened to him? If Samson had said Delilah, hey, Majai, me and Pell will be home. Coffee, 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 coffee. Fadros, no, coffee, coffee. Coffee, coffee, coffee. But it's true. Where would Samson be today? A famous judge of Israel. But now we remember him as the man who was brought down by Delilah, made blind, brought down the temple, and died with his enemies. But it could have been like Samuel. living to a good old age. But he kept an evil person around him. And even worse, he went and put his head on her lap. Shabaya. If some people walk away from you, tell somebody good. He didn't say it well. I said, if some people walk away from you, tell your neighbor good. It's called good riddance. Some people, you are better off that they don't come to you again. When you are doing the right thing and they are reacting or they are commenting, oh, you're too spiritual. Oh, you're too much. Listen, that person, reject him. And if he draws back from you, tell yourself, I have done well. Amen. I didn't hear a good amen. Sometimes we beg people to stay. We beg them to stay. Rebellious choristers, bad ushers, we smokers, people who are in church, womanizers. There are some church members who are hunting church members. Church, internal destruction agents. There are some who come smiling. And because, you see, what they'll do is, come, this is the pastor. Talk to the pastor for 2 minutes. Stand by here. Say something. How are you? Everything. Then deliver. Then come to you. Then you are thinking, because he came from the pastor, he must be a good boy. But actually, you are the cover for my targets. So as I come to you, I say, hello, baby. How are you, sweetheart? I like your hair, you know. But here, there, I'm saying, pastor, this morning my quiet time was John 3:16. I was so blessed. Really? Go. Then you are going with an artificial cover. Then you come to the person here and say, you know, I was praying. And when I closed my eyes, I saw you. Those are the bad boys. Oh, say it well. Bad boys. Walking around inside the church. Thank you. Yeah. Walking around inside the church. One guy said that he goes to churches around the end of service to do what? To give people lifts. Yeah. When the church is ended, they'll come there with his car. As it's closing, they'll give people lifts. He knows some don't have money to go home. Now as they give them lifts, on the way, he starts to talk. I know I'm from church. I say, oh, today God bless me, you know, and God gave me a good gift. I have some extra money. Do you want some fried? Have you had lunch? You don't have lunch. Oh, what a long day in church. Do you want some chicken? Yeah. Some people should not be around us. Amen. And when you reject them and they are offended, they will stay away from you. You are better off. I said, you are better off. The key of pruning, cutting off some parts of us that are not dead, but you are better off without them. Hallelujah. Some choristers, when they leave the choir, say, praise the Lord. I won't come again. You won't come again. You won't come again. You won't come again. Say, at last, thank God. I couldn't sack you. You have sacked yourself. Praise the Lord. You have helped me. Because when you come, every choir practice, we are singing this. No, what about that? We are wearing blue. What about green? We are coming at 6. Then you come at 9. Yeah. No, so if that chorister decides that, you know, I won't come again, the answer is, praise the Lord, don't come again. I didn't hear an amen. And so, the choir is finishing. Remember what prophet said. At the beginning of this church, his first assistant left him and the church went down and reduced. But what happened afterwards? It became stronger and was rebuilt. Whatever goes down, when you build that, when you do the right thing, it will become stronger and grow faster thereafter. Put your hands together. Don't worry at all that, oh, the ashes are finished, courses are finished, people didn't come. No, don't worry at all. We are going down, but we know what we are doing. We are shaking ourselves to rise again. Yeah. You're going to propose to a girl that she's telling you that, you know, I need to buy shoes. The shoes, they cost 7,000. Yeah. Huh? Run away. The shoe is 7,000. Look at the trouble you're going to marry. Look at the trouble you are going to marry. 7,000 shoes. You, what shoe do you wear? What shoe do you wear? 7,000 city shoe. Say, hey, I'm out of here. When the girl says, you don't have money, your coffee broke one, say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, I don't need you my life. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Number three. What's the first key? The key of the north wind. Squeeze your face. Don't accept anybody speaking to you negatively. Especially about the pastors and leaders. Especially them. Because they are important to you. What's the second key? Constant pruning. It means if somebody leaves you, let the person go. Pruning is cutting off living parts. The person is a friend, a so-called friend, but he's going, let him go. A person who makes comments about things, let the person go. Hallelujah. Key number three, the key of creating fire. Fire brings out all kinds of animals and whatever is hiding in the bush. I don't know about here, but in Tamale, in that Harmattan season, the boys go to the bush and set the bush fire. Do you know why they set it? It brings out all the bela. All the animals start running. Then they are ready with their sticks. Then they have just wait. When the animals are running, they come and bang them and then carry it home. That's their hunting. But in the process, they have destroyed many farms. But that's how they do it. It's the key of creating fire to drive out hidden things. Listen, do not be afraid of anybody. Hallelujah. Nehemiah 13, in verse 11. Fire means adverse conditions. Fire means difficult things. I mean, it's hot. When Bishop Kweku was preaching during the conference, hey, at times he was confronting people. And they were shouting, heat! Heat! Fire is burning somebody sitting down here. Or somebody watching. Or somebody, we are talking to somebody somewhere. We are creating fire. This is what the man said. Let me see verse 10. Verse 10. And I perceived that the portions of the Levites had not been given them, for they had all gone to do their other work. So verse 11. Then I contended. I fought with those, the rulers. Listen, don't be afraid to confront somebody doing the wrong thing. Don't be afraid. You see, sometimes as Christians, we are professional peacemakers. I don't see it in the Bible. Because Jesus said, I've come to set a man at variance with his house. And the enemies of a person will be those of his household. There's a time for peace. There's a time for war. There's a time to reject people. There's a time to tell somebody to his face, what you are doing is wrong. Can you do that? Can you do that? Hey, some of you are not seeing anything well. Can you do that? Can you tell somebody to their face, what you are doing is wrong? And when you do, and they are angry, and they walk out, they say, thank you. Key number two is applied. Don't say, I've lost a member. Say, key number two, constant pruning has been applied. But do not be afraid to confront. Sometimes we are too timid. It's like, oh, we must keep everybody by force. We will try our best. We will try. That is why we are shepherds and not hunters. We will try and keep all that we have. But the wolf in sheep's clothing, when we lay hold on him, we kill him. We don't let him continue in the flock. The wolf in sheep's clothing, we kill him. We don't let him be there happily in the corner, speaking to the little girls and little boys, telling them stories. Sometimes you learn bad things in church because a bad boy has entered and is allowed to operate. Sometimes there was one time a certain thief came into a church, and he was a master thief, and he was stealing, offering, stealing phones, stealing things. Until one day we caught him. We identified him. They warned him. He did it again. They warned him. Did it a second time. Then one fine Tuesday, the pastor said, come. Then he brought the person up on stage. Then the person was smiling on stage, up on stage. He said, church, do you see this? Not this one. Do you see this one here? Yes, he's a thief. When he's coming, be careful. Hide your phones. Hide your money. This guy is a thief. He thought that we're going to praise him as they put him on the stage like that. No, 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 no. He was revealed. Hey, look, what happened to him? Key number two was applied. He pruned himself. Thank you. Don't be afraid to confront somebody if needs be. Amen. Don't be afraid to tell somebody, these days your dressing has changed. We have a way of dressing. Don't tell somebody, I saw you walking with somebody in town the other day. I don't think he is good for you or she is good for you. This is very quiet. What do you say? I can hear the fans. The face has become very quiet. Hallelujah. No, tell. Otherwise, you are not your brother's keeper. And when you do such things, some people, they will change. They will change. Hallelujah. They will change. Do not be afraid to tell somebody what is. You see, a church is the pillar of truth. There must be truth, must be our fundamental belief. It must be that what we say is true as far as we know. As far as we know. In a church, whatever, if we are wrong, we are sincerely wrong. If we have made a mistake, then before God and man, it was a mistake. Otherwise, as much as possible, what we say is the truth. Yeah. And so, when you have the truth, do not be afraid to use it as a weapon to deliver somebody else. Hallelujah. Our time is finished. Key number four. The key of working with willing people only. Make sure you do not have unwilling people around you. Make sure that anybody who is around you wants to be there. Recently, I met a young person who had born a child with somebody, and I told her, listen, the fact that you have born with somebody does not mean what? You should marry that person. No, 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 no. Hey, do not lock yourself in a room with somebody who doesn't like you, who only came to blow you 3, 4, 5 times, and you became pregnant, and now you have born a baby. It doesn't mean, do you ask the boys, do you like all the girls to sleep with? Please ask the boys, do you like all, don't mind you again. Do you like all the girls to sleep with? Don't mind you again, they are quiet. We are in church today, don't mind us. Hey, it's okay, don't ask again before the church is full. We are pruning them by mistake. We are pruning by mistake. But it's true. Not all the boys like the girls to sleep with. Some are just convenient. Some are tension release. Some are available at the time of need. Some just pass at the wrong moment. And we just slept with them. And then now they are pregnant. So I should marry you? No, 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 it's not. Work with willing people only. Somebody who wants to be with you is the best person to have with you. Yeah. Anybody you must force or keep talking or keep convincing to keep coming back and back again and again shouldn't be with you. That person, listen, tell them you are free to go. I said you are free to go. And the last key. 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 12. For if there be first a willing mind, that's the key you're looking for. If there be first, that is why every time I'm receiving offerings and tithes, I tell them, when you are giving your tithe, smile as you are coming. No, it's not by force. No. Tithe is too expensive to give your salary one-tenth away by force. Hey, you must be happy you are giving it away. Be happy that you are able to honor God like that. You're not happy, keep it. Or you lose it and you won't gain the blessing of it. There must be a willing mind. There must be, I am willing, I am happy. I tell them, always be praying as you put in the offering basket. Always be praying and thanking God that I can do this. There must be a willing mind first. And finally, the key, the fifth key of to create the culture of allegiance is the key of teaching against disloyalty. Every usher, every chorister, every group leader, bacenta leader, everyone, you must be able to teach in your little group about loyalty. You must know enough yourself to share about it in the place where you are a leader. Amen. Oh, I said amen. You must be able to go and tell somebody what is right and what is wrong. It cannot be that in the area where you are, we are totally bereft of all knowledge about disloyalty. We don't know the signs of disloyalty, the laws, the principles. No. Somebody must know them. Somebody must know that when you don't smile when I'm preaching, it means something. You must know that if I call the choristers together and I'm preaching, and one girl is there and she has squeezed her face looking outside, you must know what it means that this girl doesn't respect me, doesn't believe in me, and sooner or later will rebel against me. And so, key two, prune her quickly out of the group. There must be a teaching and knowing by the leaders and the teaching of loyalty in this house. Can I have an amen? Amen. There must be somebody, people, who are able to say clearly what is wrong, what is going on. I understand it. I see the signs. As I see your face, the way you don't smile, the way you are in church, when you come to church, no, then you just josh yourself to sleep. I can see that clearly. You don't believe in the place. You just come to mark register and go back again. We can see those who, shall we stand to our feet? They don't get up. Lift your hand. Offering time. First offering, they don't come. They don't come. First and best, they don't come. Special offering, they don't come. We should see and know what it means. Because once your money doesn't go to a place, your heart won't go either. Hallelujah. Are you here this morning? We are building our church again. We are rebuilding the church we inherited from the fathers. The church that built us and made us what we are, that has gone out to 95 countries and has built cathedrals in almost every country. A church that we believe in and has won many, many souls. That's what we are doing this morning. We are rebuilding that church. Put your hands together this morning. We are rebuilding that church. And the architects and the builders of that church is you. Every one of us here, you have been co-opted and brought on board to help fight the fight to build a good church. Every one of us is being asked this morning to stand as a gatekeeper, as a gatesman, as a holder of the tradition that builds a good church. And every one of us is asked to tell those who are not correct, be warned, you are no longer welcome. Be warned, your place here, your time here is limited. Change or go out. You are a good singer, but change or go out. You are helpful, you give money, but change or go out. Because without you, look, we'll do very well. Oh yes, I mean, we don't need, there's nobody critical for our existence except the Father. That's all we need. And we have him, his support is with us. You don't need anybody else. We'll build a church. Amen. Amen. Tell somebody, look, if you go, we'll miss you. But that's all. Hallelujah. Are you happy, Kim, this morning? Put your hands together. And it is our culture. It is our culture that we do altar call every time so that we always give somebody an opportunity to know Jesus as his personal Lord and Savior. There are many who are walking in town who don't know Jesus. So we do crusades and campaigns and other programs. But there are few in our churches who have been coming, keep coming, are even members, but don't know Jesus for real in their hearts. That is why every opportunity we have, we give them a chance to give themselves to Jesus. Shall we stand to our feet? You want to bow your heads? You want to close your eyes? You are here this morning and you are not born again. You are here this morning, every head bowed, every eye closed. You are here this morning and you are not sure where you will go when you die. Sometimes you are afraid to die because you don't know whether you are going to heaven or you are going to hell. You want to go to heaven. You want to go. But sometimes you are just afraid. And you are here this morning. Wherever you are, do me a favor. Lift your right hand. Say, Pastor, please, I'm not sure where I'm going when I die. I want to go to heaven. But sometimes I'm disturbed. When I think of my bad things, when I remember all the sins I've committed, I become worried. I become disturbed. I'm apprehensive. I'm not sure where I'll go when I die. You are here this morning, and I'm describing your mind. Wherever you are, do me a favor and lift your right hand. Thank you, my brother. I see your hand. God bless you. God bless you. I see your hand. Anybody else? You are here this morning and you have never prayed, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. You have never prayed that prayer. You have been coming to church in and out. You are in the choir. You sing and usher. You do many things. But you have never prayed, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. You too, you are here. Wherever you are, do me a favor and lift your right hand. You too, lift your right hand. God bless you, my sister. God bless you. Listen, with your hand raised, please come to me. Ushers, bring them to me. Just come to me right now. Just come. Just come. Don't be shy at all. Just come. Yes. That's why we came. To help you away from destruction. Oh, yes. Just come. Oh, clap for them as they are coming. Oh, clap for them. It's a turning point today. It's a turning point. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I want us to pray, okay? And I want to lead you in this prayer. And I want you to say this prayer after me. Listen carefully. Dear Jesus, today I come to you just as I am. Lord Jesus, forgive me all my sins, all the bad things that I have done. Wash them away with the sacrifice at Calvary. Change my heart. Give me a new heart, one that will serve Jesus and follow him all my days. Lord Jesus, prepare a place for me in heaven by your side and write my name in the book of life. Today, I give my heart to Jesus. Today, I invite Jesus, come into my life, take over, take control. Today, I am born again and Jesus is my Lord, my Master, my Savior, and my best friend. Lord, thank you for these who stand here to confess your name before this house and before all the powers of heaven. I pray, Lord, that from today onwards, you mark them with a mark that they are yours. Let them never stray. Let them never go to the side. Let them never be separated from your love. Mark them, Holy Spirit, as yours forever. And Father, keep them as our family here on earth. Bless. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. What you have done is a great step. Do you see our pastor waving his hand? I want you to go to him. He'll talk to you for a few minutes. Then you come back and join us. Just go to him. Hallelujah. This morning, we're about to have communion. But before we do, I want us to do something. I want us to pray for our prophet. Yeah. I didn't hear a good amen. When a car has a head-on collision, where is the most damage? At the front. Because that is the part that is leading the car in where we are going. So, as a church, the front of the church is the head, the father, who goes ahead of us. He is the most exposed to every danger, every challenge that comes our way. I want us to spend a few minutes this morning to pray for him. Is it a good idea? Yes. Is it a good idea? Oh, I can't. Is it a good idea? Yes. So, I came to church to pray for me. No. I know. You see, the reason why, look at me. The reason why you should be happy to pray for somebody else is what you sow, you will get. So as we are here this morning to pray for our pastor, our prophet, you too, in the day of your testing and your trouble, somebody somewhere will pray for you. I've heard of many testimonies of somebody who was suddenly urged to pray for somebody. And at that very moment, he was going through a testing or a situation. I've heard many such stories. Let it be God's way of saving us by letting somebody stand up to pray for you in your moment of need. But us now, let us pray for our prophets. He's our father. He's leading us. Whenever a trouble strikes the church, wherever it is, in the north, in the south, abroad, or anywhere in the world, it is him who carries it. Every pastor anywhere in the world is his child. Anywhere there's a disaster or a trouble, it is him. He is the one carrying the burden of the church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I didn't hear a good amen. I want us to pray this morning for him. We are praying. How many can speak in tongues? Pray in the spirit. Can I see your hand? Give me a wave. Oh, give me a wave. You can pray in the spirit. Oh, I can. Yes, you can pray in the spirit. How many cannot? Okay, those who cannot, I want you to pray with your understanding. Pray, Lord, bless this man. Watch over him. You see, as you are praying with your understanding, the trouble is very soon after, you are finished praying. Because you have said everything you can say in your head. Your vocabs are finished. When that happens, pray again. Pray again. That's what we can do for the short time that we are here. Pray again. Hallelujah. Just pray again. Is that a good idea? I want us to start together. We are praying for our pastor. He is the man God has given us as a shield, as a leader, as a visionary. The one who we are following to the place where our blessings lie. God has given us leaders all along, every step of the way. And this morning, we want to commit him into the hand of God. Shall we pray? Just commit him to the hand of God. The Lord, we are committing our pastor into your hand. Watch over him this morning. Let him be protected from every evil, every trouble. Oh, please, it's a short prayer meeting. Just feel free to walk around so that we are not tied down by any. It's our habit in church. We can pray. We are a praying church. Yes, we are a praying church. We are a praying church. So you can pray this morning, wherever you are. Wherever you are. Pray in any language, in English, in Cree, in tongues that, Lord, this is the man you've given us as a leader. This is the man you've given us to bring us as a church forward. Protect him, Lord. As far as he goes, we are all going. He's the driver. Wherever he goes, he's taking us there. He's taking us there. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Prophet, Lord, Bishop, Father, in the name of Jesus, his very life, his ministry, every detail of his life, Heavenly Father, Lord, your promises are to your servant, Lord, your abounding grace and in Hambalaba, the Abhami Pazelebe, the Masu Oshani Balaba Kabelebe, Rima Andelebiase, the Monavashi Abba Andele, Rikabanaba, Hilebele, Nabalaba, Riham Kemini Hamas, Ribeshalabi Abanaba, Ima.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Isaiah 54 and verse 17. It says, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. Hallelujah. So anyone who attempts any evil against our father, our pastor, or even against us, and everyone who will lift up his voice to criticize, to condemn, to judge, to insult, we shall condemn that tongue. It shall be judged and condemned by the courts of the law, by public appeal, by public opinion, by the people. Nobody is given permission to talk negatively about him and walk away free. And he says, this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Anyone who serves the Lord in truth with his heart, this shall be your portion. Amen. And their righteousness is of me. The Lord is the one who will make you righteous. As we try in our feeble efforts to become good and we fail, it is God who will cover us and make us good. Let us pray this morning that, Lord, no weapon and no tongue against him shall rise or not be judged. Shall we pray? No weapon fashioned against him shall prosper. No weapon shall work. No attempt at harming him will be successful. No effort trying to disgrace him or bring him down will work. All pray. Let's all pray. All pray. Every prayer. every praying, but send it. Back at the every praying.
We condemn. Where they are found, I'm in Manaba. We call
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 4, verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to do certain things, to preach the gospel, to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, to preach recovery of sight to the blind, and to preach and to set at liberty them that are bruised. This is what the anointing does. It makes us preach, makes us teach, it makes us heal. We do all these three things freely, liberally, that it might be the case. And this morning you want to pray, Lord, anoint my pastor, my father, anoint him for the work ahead. Anoint him to preach to the poor. Anoint him to heal the brokenhearted, to deliver the captives, those who are in any kind of addiction, and then to set those who are at liberty, those who are bruised, are hurt in any way, and then to set, bring back sight those who are blind. All these are the works of the Spirit, and we are praying, Lord, they be manifest in large measure in the life of the prophets, that He will save many souls, win them, heal them, and bring them into the house of God for salvation. Let us pray.
In Jesus' mighty name, imagine Bakal and the Belebe, Reim as Ima Salaba and the Andalaba, Ikam Ami Amana Palaba. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus, Iam Azelebia Shaba and Balaba. Let the power of the Spirit of God, Ambele Belebe, Iam Anabi Mighty Amanaba, Ikam Ami Amana Kalaba, on our Father and our Prophet, in the name of Jesus, Iam Ami Azelebia Scalaba, the enabling grace of God, Ami Manazalaba, Iam Az. The enabling grace, the grace to do, the anointing to do, wherever He is, Amana Balaba, the Amana, we are praying, Amin Balaba, the Amami, Amhan, the Salaba, let it be more, Amana, Amana, more anointed, Makalaba, the Amami, Amhan, the Amana, more grace, Amanaba, the Amhan, the Imana, Shalaba, the Kabalaba, the Amami, Amhan, the Kabranaba, the Amhan, the Iman, Amhan, the Father, in the name of Jesus, Amin, that you perfect, Amin, the Amami, Amhan, the Amosi, Balaba, Amin. Let it be full of that in the name of Jesus, Lord. We pray, Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And finally, we are praying, Lord, bless him. May he lack nothing. Provide for him spiritually, socially, physically. Provide for him in any form or money. May he never lack anything. But let there be always an abundance of helpers, of finances, of anointing, of buildings, of cars, of of souls, whatever he touches, let it flourish. Lord, thank you that as he's in Liberia, you are there with him. Watch over him, guide him, protect him from attacks in the spiritual realm, attacks in the natural realm, and attacks in the social world, attacks on the network, attacks in the families, attacks at home. Save him from all those which would distract him and make him ineffective in winning the souls that have appointed for him to win. Protect him, oh Lord, and keep him. Let us pray.
Father, we pray in the name of Jesus. Bless him. Enlarge his coast. Bless him, Hammy, Kama, and Alaba, the Abana Mazeleva, Rim Amana Shia Palaba, the Abani Abhan Telebraskaleva, the Abani Abalaba Kandeleva, his wife, his children, Ameneva, the Abani Abhaneleva, everything that belongs to him, Hammy, Mandaba, the Abhami Kamala Kalaba, the Abhami Sia Palaba, the Kapani Manajas, and the Kapalabalaba, the Abhani Ibalasim, Ham Telebraskaleva, the Shab Ami Kamala Kalaba, the Abhami Kamala Kaba, may did not be. Any need, Abraham, we are positive, we shall have a deliver. He can have me, Palava, in his life, and deliver. Balako, the Braspa, he can handle, Imana Jalava, Riki Abalaba, Rakos Imanaba, Raka and Chinibi, Iraq and Chinibi, Rimazalaba, Rika Amanatiba, Asalaba, Riki Abhandeleva, Rimazilibi, Shalabazilibi, Shalabazilibi, Rima Anteleva, Rimi Anteleva, Rimanteleva, Rima Anchi, Akalaba, Imazalaba.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you at this time for our father, our prophet, our pastor. Thank you for leading him all these years of his life to the point where today we have this church and we have all these. Lord, I pray this morning for one thing. Anoint him. Anoint him for the work ahead. Anoint him for the task in hand. Anoint him for the things that are yet to be done. Let us preach to more countries. Let us preach to more thousands of poor people. Let us preach to more different gatherings in different cities. In the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray that from today onwards, let his path be guided by the Holy Spirit. Whatever he does is supernatural. Wherever he goes is ordained in the name of Jesus. Let him be, oh Lord, a man who is on a mission for you. A man sent by you. A man sent to do great works of salvation for you. Let his hands be your hands. Let his feet be your feet. Let him say your words. Let him go forth out of this place wherever he goes under the covering and the protection of the anointing. Increase the anointing upon him. Only Jesus had anointing in a full measure. Only Jesus had it without any counting. All of us received a portion. Lord, increase his portion. Give him what it takes to do even more. Even more. Even more. Go out more. Win more souls. Build more churches. Train more pastors and bishops. Let him, oh Lord, be a man that is clearly marked to do even more. And Lord, I pray that you protect him from every evil, from every wickedness, be it man or spirit. Let every arrow pass over his head. Let every spear miss the target. Let every sword be broken. Quench the fire of fiery darts. Let them all come short in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, let him stand like a strong tower, a pillar of help. Let him be one who is above the storms and the clouds. Let him be one who is led by the Holy Spirit on the exact path of the Lord. Lord, bless him as he goes. Let him lack nothing. Let every plan have the means to fulfill it. Let every desire of his come to pass. Every building, let it be built. Every church, let it be built. every congregation, let it be established. Amen. A hospital, a clinic, whatever is on his heart, let it come to pass. Amen. Lord, provide. Provide. Provide all that we need. And we say thank you for such a blessing as Bishop Doug. Thank you for his guidance, his leadership. Thank you for his wisdom. Thank you for his power. All that he has created, let it keep working. Let it keep working to the glory of your holy name. And Lord, thank you for him and for all of us who are here. May the blessings that fall on him also pass down to us. Amen. Blessings of fame, blessings of respect, of honor, of prosperity, able to do what he has to do. Let all those blessings rain on him and trickle down to us. That we as a people will lack nothing. Bless us all this morning. Anyone here that is in this house, any sickness, cure it. Take away the pain in the name of Jesus. Whoever comes here distressed, whoever comes here under pressure, whoever comes here in sorrow, Lord, stretch out your mighty right hand and lift that person from the miry clay and set him on a solid rock. I pray for divine miracles of healings and provision. Let it be normal in our midst. Let it be totally heard of. Let it be something which happens, because God is in the midst of his people. Our Lord, bless everyone here. All workers, all students, all homemakers, all businessmen, all of us who are here. Bless us, oh God. Whatever we are doing, let it flourish. Wherever we go, let it do well. Let us go and come 10,000 times. Amen. May we never die on the way. Amen. May we never have an accident on the way. Amen. May we never hear any bad news on the way. Amen. There will be robbery, but not in our homes. Amen. There will be accidents, not in our cars. Amen. There will be sickness, not in our children. Amen. Deliver us. Amen. Deliver us. Amen. Deliver us from every pain, from every sorrow, from every bad news. In the name of Jesus. Amen. And Lord, send him out to even more countries. Amen. Send him out to even more cities. Amen. With a campaign. Let us make a difference. Amen. Wherever he goes. And as he goes too, Lord, let us also go with him. Amen. In our own way. Amen. Help us to win those around us. Amen. To affect those who we know. Amen. To touch those who are within reach. Help us to preach those who will hear us. Amen. And cause us to heal those who are within our reach. Let healing and miracles be normal and correct in this house. And bless us. Bless us. In Jesus' name. Amen.
When he ran to me, he took me in his arms, held my head to his chest, said, my son's come home.
We believe the word of God has come through to you. Join us at the Lighthouse Chapel International, Bantama, behind the Confidence Eating Place, this and every Sunday at 9:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. every Tuesday. Stay blessed. He called me back.